Welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic, with your host, Soul Igniter, Medical Intuitive Healer, Charlotte Simak, and explore magical places with your travel guru spotlight, Peter Panos. We've learned from Tesla's theory that in order to know the secrets of the universe, we must think in terms of vibration, frequency, and energy. So why not join us as we step through the multidimensional doorway on a cosmic adventure ride through time and space, bridging the merging timelines where the past, present, and future collide. We'll be infusing you with ascension transmissions and light body activations while uncovering ancient wisdom and shadow transformations. With powerful guests and meditative journeys, all while elevating your consciousness to embrace your divine essence. So join Charlotte as we explore the many yet undiscovered horizons.
Aloha, and welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic. I'm your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Simak, transmitting to you from the waterfall capital of the world, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We have a really great show lined up for you today. I'm very excited. We got a great guest that's going to be coming on all the way from Egypt. So get into your mystical spots, your mystical chairs, and just await for this incredibly glorious awakening that we're going to experience throughout this hour. So we also have Peter Panos joining us, our travel guru, where within every single broadcast, Peter will be showcasing a different fabulous destination for soul travel, sacred sites, vortexes, and exploring magical places worldwide. She's from spiritualquestjourneys.com. And we're really excited that you've joined us today for this yummy, awakening, magical cosmic hour as we enjoy the nectar of life, actualizing heaven on earth, experiencing your vastness while expanding the collective consciousness with the amazing synchronicities, all the while daring you to be the masterpiece that you were created to be. Now, this exotic hour was brought to you by spiritualquestjourneys.com, where you invest in spiritual travel, you always come back richer, melissasallo.com for a healthier and happier you, and myself, charlottesivak.com. So please check out our websites. You can also come and check out or find out more about the services that I offer, including soul readings, medical intuition, quantum physical healing, psychic readings, holographic journeys, Akashic readings, past, present, and future lives. So please come and drop me a line, and let's set up for a time for the new session. And we also just have a quick few announcements before we get to our fantastic lineup with Patricia Awan. We have Sedona coming up, one of our spiritual quest journeys, and we're just about to close the bookings on this because it's now February 11th to the 18th that we'll be coming to this fantastic place that will just absolutely take your breath away when you see the red rocks. And Egypt, which is divine magic and alchemy, from May 1st to May 10th, we've had an itinerary upgrade and change. It's extremely exciting, and I'm so looking forward to talking about it a little bit further. And we also have a new one that's coming up, which is Namibia, at the end of May, in the beginning of June. So please check out our websites, and you can find out more about these at spiritualquestjourneys.com. And let's get to today's fantastic wildcard lineup of a show. This is definitely one of those Stargate shows, as our guest, Patricia Awan, who is from thekematology.com in the mysticism school from Egypt. Apparently, she lives across the street from the Sphinx. So that whole area is notoriously known as a Stargate. So today really is batten down the hatches. We're going through some really wicked Stargates. So this is definitely planned moment to moment that is going to spark your creativity, infusing all of you with infinite possibilities and the magical awakening of divine child joy. So let's all be daring and risk living in divine orgasmic ecstasy. That sounds pretty good to me. So today we begin with, I'll give you just a little bit of a background on Patricia, her biography. It's quite incredible, and we're very honored to have her on the show today. And I got to say, she's going to be with us, leading us with a fantastic group when we go to Egypt in April. So this is going to be a very a deep type of a show. She has, from a very young age, Patricia has known that she would one day be going home to Egypt. As a longtime student in metaphysical, spiritual, and esoteric subjects and traditions, Patricia's electric spiritual background serves as a strong foundation to support her work. She became a student of Kermitology after meeting world-renowned indigenous wisdom keeper Abdul Hakim Aywan on her first trip to Egypt in 2005. It was during her third journey, though, to Egypt that she would meet and fall in love with her husband, Yosef Aywan. Together now, she and Yosef have created the incredible Kermit School of Ancient Mysticism as an open forum to share the teachings of his father, Hakim, and also to continue on the exploration and research of ancient mysteries, both on and off the sites. They are guided, independent explorers that come to the doorstep from all over the world, and they host them with their own tours several times a year. So to find out more about them, check out her website at kermitology.com and their extremely active Facebook group page, which I'm also a part of, and it's incredible the information that gets posted there. So it's a real honor to bring her on. Patricia's focus has, over the years, have been related to the secrets, the symbolism, and the mysteries of the ancients, to the shifting energies of our current reality. So with no further ado, we are so looking forward to hearing what she has to say and experience her story and share the incredible wisdom of also living in Egypt at this time. Thank you so much, Patricia, for joining us. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I should have asked you before we came on how to say hello in Egyptian. I don't know why it just totally slipped my mind. So,
well, normally we say Zayik or Zayak, depending on if you're a man or a woman. But yeah. But and like in the morning, we'll say Saba El Kir, and you would answer Saba El Noor, which is kind of like saying go or good morning with peace or something like that. The language is beautiful, but it's very difficult to learn.
How have you been doing with the learning the language?
If I had more time, I'd be doing much better. I'm very fortunate living here at the foot of the pyramids. It's basically a community that works with tourists, so almost everyone speaks English. And actually, in English, a large portion of the population speaks English anyway. And almost everyone here in the house, we have a large family here in the house, and almost everyone speaks English as well. So I've been able to focus on work, and unfortunately, not on learning the language.
Well, that's really incredible. And I mean, you've been there now for quite a few years. So how
is it?
I'm sorry, you see, it keeps breaking out. So
you see, I said going on 6 years. Sorry about that.
Wow. So what is the differences? Because you're originally from the States, right?
I am. We don't have enough time to go through all the differences. Egypt is amazing. It's home to me, but very, very, very different. It's a third world country. And as everyone knows, we're suffering through some political conflicts, not nearly as bad as what anybody sees through the media. However, Egypt's going through some, actually what I hope are beautiful growing pains. And they're coming out of decades of oppression and suppression by a government that really was controlling them in such a bad way and suppressing them. So right now we're excited to see these changes happen, and we're looking forward to a really bright future for Egypt. Hopefully.
That's really incredible. And you know what? It's I don't even want to say that hopefully. I want to say that it is a given, because it's been so many thousands of years that this has been clouded over Egypt, and now it really feels like the energy is rumbling and really waiting to just awaken and just like, okay, let's do this. So it's almost like you're feeling like a vacuum coming over and pulling it all up. So what an incredible time for you to be a part of it and to be living there in this time and space. That's just incredible.
Well, that's exactly right. Hakim actually even told us this was coming, although it still surprised us. But the awakening, he said, on the planet would begin with Egypt, because this is where everything began. He said we all came out of Egypt tens of thousands of years ago. And he said the awakening would begin here. And this is what we saw when the revolution started 3 years ago on January 25th. We saw Occupy everywhere, all over the planet. Because it really is people waking up and to a system that is programming us to see a reality that really isn't there. And so we're all waking up and we're ready for change. And with Egypt, they just want their basic human rights back. And yeah, I agree with you. No room for hope. It's going to happen. And hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, how does that affect you when you're out at the sites and you're taking the groups? I mean, I know they say that even with the hieroglyphs, they are on different dimensional levels where they have many, several different meanings, either on the emotion, the mental, or the spiritual. So what I'm asking you is, do you find that as you walk into the different temples and sacred sites around Egypt, how the energy frequency is shifting, or if you're being drawn to maybe different areas or parts of it and seeing different things with new eyes, even though it's been there for thousands of years?
Well, I can tell you, we go to the sites a lot. We go to the ones everyone hears about, we go to all the time, and we're also going to the ones off the beaten path. And we do feel, every time we go, even to a site we may have been to 25, 30 times, we always find or see something new. It's like we're drawn to it or guided to it or the site. What I believe what we experience is the site interacts with us. It interacts with everyone. It was created in an energetic architectural matrix in order to interact with us. And so, yes, we do feel more stimulated. And what makes it even better is that, unfortunately, people are not coming to Egypt. This is really unfortunate for Egypt and Egyptians. But for those that come, the sites are almost empty. So when I first came, in 2005, we had to wade through crowds. We had to, your focus is on getting from one side of an area to another to wade through the crowds. And now we have no distractions. Sometimes we have an entire site like Karnak to ourselves. And wow. It's unbelievable because you're experiencing it without distraction. I cannot tell people loudly enough that if they ever felt drawn to come to Egypt, and I'm not trying to sell, although it'd be great if you came with us, but if you just want to come to Egypt, now is the time to come. It's amazing.
Wow. Well, Liv, I hope everyone hears that loud and clear. It's very safe to go to Egypt, and I can only imagine the power that you feel when you go into these sites. Now, I have it's a bit of a horrible question because there's so much, but do you have a favorite site or a favorite temple that you like to go to? Now you understand why I think it's a horrible question, because they're all awesome.
It is. People always ask me this. In fact, someone asked me this on the last tour, and I laughed when she asked, and I said, I have to answer. It's the site I'm in now. And she looked at me like, yeah, you just don't want to answer. And when we were almost through with the tour, I looked at her and I said, I said, what's your favorite site? And she laughed. She got it. There's so many powerful sites. Yes, I do have some that I'm a little bit more drawn to than others, but I love them. I mean, they're all amazing. Each one is unique in its own way. Serapeum is something that was just opened a year and a half ago. Well, September a year ago, year and a half ago. Serapeum is this underground complex, hallways that have rooms, adjacent rooms that are each one filled with huge, huge megalithic boxes that can weigh 40 to 60 tons. this, to me, you know, you can see pictures and it doesn't even come close to what you feel when you see this whole area. It's, to me, I've always called it, from the first moment I walked in, it's the biggest smoking gun on the planet. You know, when you see this, that, you know, something, a culture that's so much, you know, more advanced and higher capabilities than we even have right now, created this. We can't, no one, the engineer that spent 20 years restoring it, can't explain how they did it.
That's unbelievable. That's in Saqqara, in that area, isn't it?
That is in Saqqara. Saqqara is amazing. Saqqara is huge, beautiful. And yes, it is at Saqqara. Saqqara is actually, when all of the pyramids here in and around Giza are lined up in the desert. They form a line. And to the furthest north is Abu Ruwash. And then you've got the Giza pyramids. And then Abu Jarab and Abu Sir. And then Saqqara and Dahshur. And then you go a little further and you're at the oasis of Fayyum, and there's four more pyramids, or more. I mean, there's strings of pyramids, but they form a huge complex, and they're all connected by underground tunnels and shafts. And we call it a network. It's people look at the Great Pyramid and say, oh, there's a power plant, there's an energy device. I say there's a whole network of these energy devices, each one possibly tuned to a different frequency or tone, each one possibly having a different purpose, but they're absolutely all connected.
Incredible. And here's another tough question for you. Okay. Have one of the most spiritual or mystical experiences that absolutely blew your mind, or if you can talk about it, or share with us, spots in all the years that you've been there?
Oh, I've had many. So yeah, you caught me off guard there, because I have had so many. I'm one that is very visual, and I see visions, and I've had visions of things that were the things that I've now confirmed through my work and research, but at the time didn't even understand what they were. Phenomenal things, spontaneous healings. I have experienced that here at the sites. Amazing things. In fact, there are areas, resonance chambers, including the King's Chamber, the Great Pyramid, that with resonant toning, it can change. Okay, yes, I've had the spontaneous healings, but I've also, you know, if I'm going in and I'm depressed or upset about something that day, and you go into one of these chambers and we do this resonant toning, we come out feeling totally differently. Your entire mood is elevated. Something opens up, and then we start to go around and see the sights, and we see them with, like I say, almost different eyes. It raises your level of awareness even. So that in and of itself, not to mention all the other things, crystals turning purple and, you know, these kinds of things. You know, this happens a lot here in Egypt. But I find it's actually the interaction that's happening. It's subtle, and you don't maybe recognize it while it's happening. But even in the beginning, my first few trips here, I would go home and immediately my life would change. Everything in my life changed, and people saw it. And, you know, people would look at me and they'd say that they could look right through me. It was like everything about me had changed. So there are subtle effects and there are immediate things that happen. It's Egypt is I'm sorry to keep going on, but we sit here on the pulse of the planet. It's the heartbeat of the planet. Everything, and physicists have measured this, but the pulse, there's a pulse of the planet, the frequency, and it begins here in Giza, and they can feel it getting lesser as it moves out down the meridians. So I like to liken this to this very powerful, there was no accident that they chose this spot to build these pyramids and these amazing temples, because they were so in touch with nature, they utilized the energy from within the earth, and probably those connecting with the cosmos and the stars. There's an interaction as above, so below. So yes, definitely, this is a place where magic happens.
I am so looking forward to coming out and meeting you and to going on this tour with you in May when we do this incredible journey. And I have to ask you about UFOs and aliens and about all the, I mean, we've seen the hieroglyphs, of course, in Osiris's temple at Abydos with the helicopters and everything, but I want to ask you more about that. Plus, I also just read a book called Aliens in Ancient Egypt, which was just absolutely astounding. And we have actually the author coming on, Xavier Hayes, in the next, after this show. And we've already done the show, but it is just, it was a mind-blowing experience. What can you add to that? Have you had any experiences with that?
Well, here is a funny thing. Firstly, we actually are not convinced that the glyphs in Abydos are of. There might have been. I can't think of the name right offhand, but sometimes we see writings over writings over writings. Sometimes they'll scratch something out and scratch something else in. There is a lot of this at Abydos, so we're not convinced that this isn't something like that, or there's no way to verify or confirm that it's real. There's two schools of thought on this. And I wouldn't say it is or it isn't. Right. The other thing I'll say right off the bat is Hakim was adamant, and Yosef and I totally support this, that it wasn't aliens that built the pyramid or the temple complexes. And we're talking about the most ancient. Because right. We do see site transformation here, and there's several levels of building, and you know, we see many different cultures, civilizations occupied the same space, and they left their mark. We see this anywhere. Somebody, you know, people buy a house and change it and knock a wall down and restore and what have you. This is what you see in Egypt. But some of the most ancient, which are the most mind-blowing, the megalithic structures, mm-hmm. These, you know, we would say that it was actually men, human beings like us, that built these structures during a high cycle. Hakim talked about eternal cycling of ages and consciousness. And so this is what is passed down through the indigenous here. So it was, you know, Africans, Egyptians, Kamishians who built these structures. However, we're not saying that aliens don't exist, but we question how that concept is interpreted for the mass or the public. Gotcha. Because I would say we are, you know, what we see in this age, and Hakim would tell us that we are now in that dark age. We have devolved, and we're awakening now. This is what we all talk about. We're going into the new dawn, which is the age of Kepher, according to the indigenous here, represented by the winged scarab, by the way. So this is actually happening right now. However, in this devolvement, we're in a man devolves into a very material, physical, 3D world, right. And it's a world of separation. So we are easily separated, and by utilizing fear and anger. So alien is a term that would describe the thing that's most not like us. If you know what I mean, it's that highest form of separation. When I would say, if you look at our quantum reality, we're all energy expressing ourselves. Right. And so we are the aliens. We're all these life forms, but right now we're limited in this 3D construct to our these physical material bodies. So we can't conceive of what, you know, this quantum limitless, you know, and you spoke about this. And so, as I said, I have a different viewpoint. And so when Hakim talked about this time way back when, he said that man had as many as 360 senses during this high golden age of high consciousness. So if you consider that and you look at we're in a higher dimensional vibration and frequency, then you're looking at full scope sensibility. You know, we have more than the five senses that we currently have. And so the capability to me, in a less dense world, can explain so many things that we can't explain right now through our, as I said, 3D cultural perspective.
That is a brilliant way to express it. And it's a question that comes up over and over and over again. And like you said, it can be argued in so many different ways. But I really love the way you put it together and the way you expressed it, and especially saying the part that we are the aliens. That is life-altering. And it really opens up your perception. And what really amazes me, too, with Egypt is its multidimensional aspects. Now, when you walk in, it's not what you see. It's what you feel that is what completely not just invigorates you, but ignites you. So,
Good word.
I'm thinking that because you also are a sacred site, and so many people don't understand that when you walk into a temple such as, let's say, the Giza Plateau or Saqqara, the frequency of the temple is activated by the frequency that you hold or that you carry. So it meets you at the mark. And if it's all right, I want to just bring up, every New Year's Eve, I do this holographic journey, which has become huge now. We're in our fourth, fifth year doing it. And we holographically soul travel, bilocate to the Sphinx. And the energy that comes across doing this is so mind-blowing. You can feel it as it flows through your skin and your senses. And what blew my mind when I first learned about this, or remembered it, if you want to call it, was that how the energy of the Sphinx basically gets a multidimensional read on where you've been, what you've done, what you've accomplished, and what the lessons that you've learned, and then gives you back an energetic gift, if you will, as you entrain to the frequency of the Sphinx, to help you to open up the doors that come for you for the next portion of your life. So this is one of the reasons why we always do it on New Year's Eve, because, of course, the changing of the air, people think of that's a time to do resolutions, but it's also a time that really sets the tone for the coming year. So it's been a really wild experience, and I look forward to going to the Sphinx with you in person when I see you in the spring. We'll see what happens there.
Right between the paws. It's one of the most, to me, the Sphinx. Hakim called her Tefnut. It's a she. She was a great lioness. She's probably had her head recarved many times. It's totally out of proportion with the body. But to me, she's the great mother. She's the lioness. And you know how cats take care of their babes. This is the great mother. And when you're between her paws, there's nothing in the world like that feeling. And you're right, the energy that she expresses. I say she. I'm not trying to give, personalize.
It's incredible that you said that, because, I've heard so many things, too, on the Sphinx, where now they say that it's actually Anubis, and that to get to the mother, you have to go through Anubis first, as you go through Jesus to get to the Father. So it makes sense.
We would say not Anubis. The people that are saying, Robert Temple and a handful of others, are relating this to Greco-Roman writing. That some of their reasoning we find fault with. And this is, I don't want to get personal or downplay anybody else, but we would say absolutely was not a dog. When you see her, Charlotte, you'll know. You'll just know, but we would say definitely not. There might have been two. We wouldn't say that, there weren't two Sphinxes at one time.
I'm asking you about
but
that.
Definitely a lioness. A lioness. A dog. But we do connect her to Sirius, though, by the way. We feel that she is looking for Sirius.
Now, isn't that interesting? I've read, I can't remember where now, I wish it comes to my mind, that there is a second Sphinx that's up a little bit further up. But also, when I was in Sedona, Arizona, the last time, I found a Sphinx there and a whole bunch of pyramids.
Boynton Canyon?
Now behind, actually, no, somewhere else. It's actually hidden behind the Oak Creek Canyon, that's it. It's behind.
Oh, I love it out there. Yes, awesome.
So we're going to go on a major exploration there when we go there in a few weeks to that specific spot. But I'm wondering if you're saying with the second Sphinx, might that be it, or the one that's in Egypt? So, because again, it is on a ley line, but I'm so glad that you brought that up and that other piece also too about the Divine Mother, because again, it's just awakening and I trust what you feel.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to trust our own guts. And you know, I never have judgment with anybody else's opinion. But, you know, I would always tell people to go within and find their own answers for sure.
Well, that's amazing. I'll tell you about it some other time. But after we did that holographic journey, the vision that came through with the Sphinx had altered. It had shifted. It was completely different. So,
wow.
It blew my mind, the whole experience, but I can't wait till we're in the pause. So now you live across the street from the Sphinx, don't you?
I do. Yes, we do. Hakeem built the home here, and in fact, most of the kids, his children, he had 11 children, most of them were born here in the house. Wow. And the plateau is their playground. Yosef, my husband, this is where he played. They played soccer and rode their bikes on the plateau. The fence is fairly recent, I think within the last 10 years.
Wow. Incredible.
About 10 years Incredible. Ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And tell us a little bit about what you do with your amazing co-creation with the Kermit School of Ancient Mysticism.
Well, Hakeem sadly passed from the physical in August of 2008, and it was just after that that Yosef and I got married, and everyone was just so devastated by the loss, because Hakeem was just an amazing, amazing man. But what I recognized in Yosef was he had been studying and listening to everything his father had done, studying the hieroglyphs on his own, doing all this work, and he was like, he didn't, I think there's a part of him that knew that this was his destiny, but he just absorbed everything, and we just started, we wanted to continue the work. People were still coming. this home has always been open to people, and people, visitors from all over the world, and famous people. The Grateful Dead came, but Greg Braden and David Icke and all these people, and of course Stephen Mailer, his number one student, and who he wrote two books with. Stephen Mailer wrote the two books, Land of Osiris and From Light into Darkness, with Hakeem. So people have been coming here for years and years, and the door was open, and this is something that the whole family, the Aoyan family, wanted to continue, to keep the door open, that, you know, when anybody walks in, they're always welcome to sit down and have a meal with us, and we share. We share everything that Hakeem gave to everyone. I mean, he gave it to everyone. So our door is open for visitors, for independent travelers. And of course, Yosef and I wanted to be able to, with all our study, we continued the research. This has been my lifelong passion, and as well as Yosef. So we wanted to continue the work, and this is what we've been doing. Yosef's focus is he's very much into the sight transformation and looking. You know, we go deeper and look. What we see is temples above temples above temples and constructs. You know, we always look down because there's so much even underground. The whole plateau is an underground city, several levels down. So this is, you know, yeah. And then going through, you know,
that only 30% of Egypt has been discovered.
Excuse me?
That only 30% of Egypt has been discovered.
Oh, maybe not that much. We see entire sites. We've been up to Tanis. This one always boggles my mind because Tanis is I think it was in Raiders of the Lost Ark they focused on this site. I mean, it's somewhat known, but practically nobody goes there. And it's way up in the Eastern Delta toward the Mediterranean. Not that far, but anyway, we go to this site, and all you see are these lumps of sand, and what you see above the sand that they've actually found is phenomenal, and then you see an entire huge, I mean, it could be larger than Karnak, and it's all under the sand. It's all under it, nothing's been excavated, and you wonder why. I mean, I can name 100,000 people that would pick up a shovel and go
Yeah. <You're suffering. laughs>
But yes, we see this everywhere, that there are so many sites and sites that haven't even been discovered yet. All of Egypt, I mean, it's a huge site.
Well, I'm looking forward to discovering it with you. It's such a pleasure to have you. And for those of you just tuning in, we have Patricia Awan from Egypt with us from the Kematology.com school and ancient school of mysticism in Egypt. She does lectures, she does tours all throughout Egypt. And please check out the Facebook page as well, too. There's so much incredible information that's always being posted on there as well, too. And what a beautiful, beautiful story of how you were mentioning how your door is always open to all the incredible people that come to Egypt. It's beautiful. And to be a part of such an incredible legacy is absolutely gorgeous.
It's phenomenal. It's amazing. There are no words.
So you'll be receiving this transmission in silence as you get the powerful impact of what Patricia is saying. So we want to thank you so much for being with us here. I can't believe how fast this time is going.
And it has.
We need to bring on our travel guru, Pita Panos. Are you able to stay with us and join us while Pita goes over the fabulous destination that she has chosen for this week?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it.
We welcome Pita Panos from spiritualquestjourneys.com. And what fabulous site are we looking at today with you, Pita?
Hi, Charlotte. Well, of course, today I'm looking at the Egypt journey. I mean, it would be completely wrong to bring up any other journey. Patricia, lovely to hear your voice and to hear you chat. It makes me quite homesick, which is, it's almost weird because I've only been to Egypt twice in this lifetime. And I think that that's one of the strangest things about Egypt is that, you know, when you speak to so many people that have been there about their trip, that's the one thing they all say, it felt just like going home. So, you know, as you were talking, I was just remembering the last time I was there with you guys over 12-12-12, and what an incredibly fantastic trip that was. You know, I can't wait to come back. I just wanted to also mention, you know, we were talking a bit earlier about the safety aspect. And, you know, having had a big group in Egypt over 12-12-12, that was when the world's press was talking about Egypt being such a dangerous place to be. And, you know, I even had to ask the group just to contact their families and friends just to let them know that they were okay in case they were worried, because we were oblivious to the fact that there was any problem whatsoever in the country. And even on the days that we went into the center of Cairo to the museum and to see old Coptic Cairo, you literally there was no concept of any problem. So I wholeheartedly back you up in that it is absolutely safe to visit Egypt. And I guess the upside is that the sites have been relatively quiet. When we were there and on this journey coming up in May, one gets to go to Karnak Temple at sunrise, and to have that temple to yourself is just incredible. And you do have it to yourself at sunrise. But literally, once you've been there for an hour or two, normally you can't move. And so I can imagine how the sites are at the moment, where you are able to really just wander freely and just soak in the energy. So that it's just great. So anyway, back to the tour. We've got it coming up on the 1st to the 10th of May this year. Charlotte Savak is the Spiritual Quest journey leader, taking care of the inner journey. And we have Yusuf and Patricia Iwan and Muhammad Ibrahim as the the local guides. Now, what I think is so brilliant, I know it sounds like there's a lot of guides on the tour, but Mohammed comes at things from very much the Egyptology perspective, and you have Yusuf and Patricia speaking from a chematology perspective, and then the journey leader, Charlotte, from an intergalactic perspective. So you get such a diverse experience of the sites and the country. And I think that everybody feels the same in that they impart the knowledge without trying to convince people, rather to encourage them to use their own discernment and to feel for themselves what the sites are all about. And I mean, there's certainly the one thing that you can't get away from when you're in the sites is to marvel at how they were built. Many of the kind of official explanations are just crazy. You know, Patricia, you were talking a little bit about the Serapeum, and you know, when you see those huge boxes, there's not enough space around them for the thousands of people that were supposed to lift them and carry them places. You know, you almost have to see them to realize that it's not possible. The way they were built, the way they were moved, the way the people interacted with the sites, there's a whole big story missing, you know. And it's such fun listening to the theories and then working out for yourself what you resonate with, using your own discernment. So it's wonderful. The tour itself, I think, is one of the most exciting tours that we've worked on, in that you still get all of the incredible iconic sites. But we've taken a slightly different turn to go a bit off the beaten track, and that is actually into the desert. And I think that is going to be an incredible experience. So we start the tour in Cairo and spend the first night in Cairo. And the second day we go through to Dashur and Saqqara. And we actually do visit the Serapeum on that day, and of course the Red Pyramid and the Bent Pyramid. And then at the end of the touring day, we go into the desert to an oasis where we spend the night. And then the next day, jump into some 4x4 vehicles and actually go exploring in the desert. And, you know, this is just the group. So you're completely alone, finding crystals that you can take home around Crystal Mountain. And then that night, we actually spend the night in the desert. You can either just sleep out under the stars, or there are tents for those that would prefer. And we've got a whole Bedouin experience that night where, you know, there'll be some music and singing, and Charlotte's going to do an amazing activation out there. And you can just imagine just the group in the middle of the white desert with the stars and no light pollution whatsoever. I think that's going to be something that everybody will remember for the rest of their lives. You know, it also, by the way, is a place where there are very often UFO sightings. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on that night. After that, we go off to Luxor and see many of the iconic sites there, including Luxor Temple, the Temple of Man, and Karnak Temple. There we have the private group access to Sekhmet's Chapel, and that really is an exciting thing to do. And then to spend some time walking around Karnak, which is an incredibly magnificent temple. And then that night, to actually go to Luxor Temple and walk around at night. And I always think that it is more spectacular at night because of the way the temple is lit up. It's just absolutely beautiful. And then we move on to Aswan. Of course, the temple of Isis there, and that morning we visit the unfinished obelisk, and this is, you know, Patricia, you were talking about a smoking gun, and this is always one for me as well, when you see that 1,200 ton obelisk that is actually still in the ground, and you just it baffles the mind. How was this going to be moved? How were they going to cut it? And you can see the sides of it. It had to have been cut with some sort of mechanical technology, you know. And looking at the rock around the obelisk, where it literally looks like it's been scooped out like ice cream, you know, and the official explanation there is that it was a chisel and hammer. And you just know that there's definitely more to that story, you know. And then we go back to Cairo and spend two nights there. And on the Giza Plateau Day, we've organized for the group to have private access into the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid, as well as between the paws of the Sphinx. And I think Patricia and Charlotte, you've both spoken about that and how incredible that energy is going to be. And it definitely makes a big difference to have this private access, because normally you just kind of look down on the Sphinx. Obviously, on the Giza Plateau, you can see the Sphinx from all around, but going between the paws of the Sphinx is kind of something really, really special. And then, of course, into the King's Chamber as well. What we've done on the 10-day itinerary is we've given another two optional extra add-on days for those that want to spend a little bit longer, where they can go on the first day of the optional extra excursion. Is to go into the Cairo Museum and then walk around old Coptic Cairo, which is so interesting and incredibly beautiful. And then on the second day, going back to Saqqara and Memphis. And here we've added a couple of really special, unique sites that are normally not visited by tourists, but incredibly special in their own way. So for those of you that are thinking about extending, it's definitely worthwhile. And then it's a 12-day as opposed to 10-day. So for more information, please visit spiritualquestjourneys.com, and the date there is the 1st to the 10th of May, and we look forward to seeing you in Egypt in May.
Oh, thank you so much, Pita. That was wonderful, and I can feel my soul and my senses buzzing as you were talking. So
yeah, well, you know, it's just it's one of those journeys that, you know, when you read the itinerary, you just know what an incredible journey it's going to be. And Charlotte, as you are the journey leader, perhaps you want to talk a little bit about your intention in terms of the inner journey work that you're planning to do in Egypt, because I know that you have got a magnificent array of activations and meditations and what have you for the group. So do you want to just talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's really interesting because we, you know, you always have the best laid plans, and then when you get there, everything changes. So we have an idea of what we're going to be doing, but I know that once we're there, depending on the frequency and the vibration, there's going to be some pretty, I know we're going to be led to some areas that are either we're going to find something, or there's going to be some kind of an activation that is going to be life altering. So it's, I want to go with my senses on this one, because we have everything related to with the divinity codes and activation, the ascension seats with the Mother, Father, God, and also too with our connection with the hieroglyphs and what they're going to be awakening. I've actually been studying the pyramid glyphs, or sorry, the pyramid text from Saqqara. I have a picture of it off the wall, and I've been tuning in with it to see, not just with my physical eyes, but my third eye, to see what's going to come from it. But I know all will unlock when we're there. So we have some amazing things that are lined up too, when we're going to be out in the desert, where we're going to do a intergalactic star alignment, where we're going to connect with the stars of the Pleiades and the stars of the Sirian, and how we're going to, you know, connect in with the Akashic records. And we're also going to have a holographic journey as well too. So for those that can't join us in the physical, we're going to bring them with us in the spiritual essence, or the soul activation, where when we go to each temple and when we do an activation or meditation in any space, we're going to open up a vortex of light. And we're going to need people's pictures for this one, and place the pictures in and send them also the activation as well. So it's going to be a very I don't even want to say multidimensional because I'm actually transdimensional. So it'll be both multidimensional and dimensional. And then all the amazing stuff that's going to be brought in with the foundation, with Patricia, Yosef, and Mohammed being there with us. So I'm extremely excited to see how it's going to all unfold, which I know is going to be mind-blowing and absolutely life-altering. Because every time I leave a journey, doesn't matter where it is, to what part of the globe, something always happens. And it's so utterly mind-blowing that there are no words to say or express it. It's just you have to experience it through the vibration, the sound, and the frequency. It'll be astounding. So I truly look forward to it and feel so grateful also to be a part of the family at Spiritual Quest Journeys to be able to do this. So it's very exciting for me.
Yes. One thing we probably should have mentioned is that we recently managed to upgrade our accommodation in Cairo to the Mina House Hotel, which is the place to stay because it is right on the Giza Plateau. And I think that that also, I mean, even though the hotel we were using is very close to the plateau, to have the opportunity to get the space at the Mina is just really fantastic because you are literally basking in the energy of the Giza Plateau, you know, while you're staying there. So that is just going to be fantastic.
Well, it's when you told me, I was freaking out. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And thank you so much, our travel guru extraordinaire, for giving us such a fantastic snapshot on Egypt. And of course, Pita Panos is from spiritualquestjourneys.com. You can check her out on there. And we have got to thank you so much, our soul sister in Egypt, Patricia Anwar, for joining us today and sharing some really incredible, I don't even know if pieces of information is the right word. I'd rather say transmissions of your experiences of being there, of going there, of returning home. It's absolutely magnificent. And again, Patricia is part of, with Yosef, her husband, the Kermit School of Ancient Mysticism. And you can find out more about her at Kermitology.com. And of course, I have the links and everything up to you on the video station page, so you can go and visit the page and get some more information. Patricia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great to be here. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. And thank you all so much for listening, for being present with us here today in this incredible space. As we also, let's just call in our mighty I Am presence and let's ask for it to spin our Merkabas, the inner Merkaba to the right, the outer Merkaba to the left, helping to ground, solidify, and stabilize all the energies that were called forth or came through today on this transmission. And we also request to transfer these heavenly energies to the Earth Mother and all the light workers who are consciously seeking ascension at this time. And we thank you all so much for joining us today, wishing you all magical days. And you know we can't forget the nights, with infinite, infinite cosmic ecstasy and aloha blessings. A harmonic new octave has arrived, so why not join us on Alternative Tuesdays at 2 p.m. PST for Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic with your cosmic guide and host, Charlotte Sivak. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.